Hello and welcome back to the Legal Geeks. Josh, I have a bad feeling about this. We are here today to discuss
Star Wars Day, May the 4th.
So okay, first of all, you have to explain because I love Star Wars, but even I didn't know about Star Wars Day. What is this Star Wars Day?
So for the normal people out there who don't understand this, Star Wars premiered on May 25th. That's also the date in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And so the Star Wars fans, in an act of accommodation, did not want their our days to collide. So they abstained from having anything on May 25th and adopted May the 4th for May the 4th be with you,
That's
as Star
pretty
Wars.
awesome.
It's clever.
All
It's
right.
clever.
It works. It works. And of course, I have a bad feeling about this. When I say those words, I think of Han Solo. But I understand that that's not the only, or he's not the only person in the Star Wars universe to utter those words.
It's stated at least once in every movie, and some of them twice.
All right. I need
And
to go back now for that in every single one.
so, yeah, it's in all of them.
All right, still, nobody can do it better than Han Solo. I love Han Solo. Okay, so today, in honor, we won't go down that road. Today, in honor of Star Wars, we're going to talk about some of the biggest legal issues, of course, and there are many, obviously. And in fact, one of our first Legal Geeks posts was one you did, Josh, on the Han shot first controversy and his legal right to do that. So, that aside, there are some other legal issues that are out there floating around the Star Wars universe. And so we're here to talk about some of them today. So Josh, one of the first ones you pointed out had to do with the medical droids.
Yeah, in the Star Wars movies, I do not recall ever seeing a human or alien doctor treat anyone. Ha, or, excuse me, Luke and Leia are delivered by a medical droid. When Anakin Skywalker is burned after the fight with Obi-Wan Kenobi and Obi-Wan Kenobi's poor work ethic and not finishing him off, the medical droid doesn't even bother treating his burns. They're just slapping on all the bionic pieces. When we see Luke's hand get cut off, that's a medical droid that puts him back together. And after being lost on Hoth, and
Right.
when you see him treated in the tank of water, it's a droid doing it. So
Oh, that's the one I think about. Yeah.
you never really see a living person treating anyone for their injuries, which raises a whole bunch of issues because doctors and the practice of medicine, like the practice of law, is a regulated profession. Doctors have to
Yes.
go to medical school. They spend many, basically all their 20s, working extremely hard, maybe a little harder than lawyers in getting their education, because we don't deal with cadavers at any point in law school. And then after going through all of that and then sitting for boards and going through residency, they put in many years of their lives perfecting one of the traditional professions that we have. The others being, say, the practice of law, that's the other big one. Accounting is one of the other ones out there. That's a traditional profession that helps people individually, well, with a fiduciary duty that's attached to them. So the only arguable doctors that we actually see that are living at any point, and this is a little weird, is from Attack of the Clones with building the clone army. They at least look like scientists working on that, but droids
As
probably
opposed to
carrying.
doctors.
Yeah, so it's a little weird, but what would this do if all the doctors were robots to the duty of confidentiality? Because all that information is being backed up on a hard drive someplace, so who has
Well,
access to the.
presumably HIPAA would apply to that as well as it does to, current doctors' medical records. So I think that issue can be addressed.
True, but it's different because you could probably make sure that the droid doesn't talk to anyone.
Probably easier, that's true.
Most likely. But what's that do in a medical malpractice case? Now, is
Yes.
that then, does med mal turn into a product liability case because the droid either failed in some way or the software wasn't working correctly. They weren't able to diagnose and treat the patient. So there are all kinds of strange issues with that.
Instead of getting medical doctors as experts to testify as to what the what a reasonable doctor should have done, do you have to get like computer software developers on the stand to say, you know what, they should have developed X program to deal with this medical emergency situation instead of Y program? So that is that does change things.
It's odd because it raises maybe because all the droids are practicing medicine the same way, that's the standard of care because you don't have anyone else doing anything to deviate from that unless, of course, they were a potentially living entity with
Droid.
more. Yeah, with.
Or compete. You could have like the Apple droids versus the PC droids, you know, and is a Mac droid better? Like, do rich people get the Mac medical droids and the poor people get the PC droids or something, and they malfunction right in the middle of surgery and you have to close everything down and reopen and reboot.
I'm sure there would be an interesting case venued in Santa Clara County for that. So there's
There you go. All kinds of issues there. Well, let's
well,
get on to constitutional issues. How about constitutional? What's kind of, equal protection is obviously an issue that's been hotly contested in the US over the century. So where do you see equal protection and constitutional law issues coming into play in the Star Wars world?
it might be a Phantom Menace. But I would say when we look at Naboo, on what's the equal protection issues there between the humans and the Gungeons? Because there looked like there was disparate treatment between the two races in the first prequel. And as part of the agreement between Amidama and getting the Gungeons to help them and overthrow the really bizarre political plot that was taking place there, they got rights, and eventually Jar Jar Binks becomes the first representative from that race to the Imperial Senate. So you have that as well. So what kind of, how was the Constitution written when you have two races? That'd be like humans and Neanderthals living together, because we were competing species at one point in time. Could a human and Gungeon marry for some odd reason if they wanted to? You have all these weird
Maybe in
permutations.
Virginia, all of a sudden.
You never know. So it's will they have a loving case there? So there's all
Exactly.
these. Let's see. See,
Unlike
I.
the Constitution.
Yeah, they have things we don't consider. And granted, this sort of thing could come up on Defiance as well to tie it to contemporary science fiction. But it's a very interesting, world to think about. How's that constitution put together where they elect a queen or a king, an elected monarchy that is in power for a time and then up for re-election. So it's would be interesting to see how that constitution actually looked.
That would be a fun one to look at. All right. Well, how about younglings? Let's talk about younglings.
Not even the youngling survived. This
Really?
raises. Okay, first, it's creepy that we have a movie where one of the essential characters slaughters children. Not once, but twice. Because Anakin killed all the Sand People children in the second prequel. And then we go to this one, he starts taking out Jedi kids left and right. Not a good role model. Sends a really dark message. But when I thought about this, it reminded me of issues from Plato's Republic. Because in Plato's Republic, you have the community of women and children where the kids are taken from their parents and they're raised by the state. And that way, the loyalty is not to their parents, but to the state. Now, to avoid unpleasantness from incest, they did keep records or would keep records to make sure that you didn't have siblings marry and other bad things take place. But that wouldn't be an issue with the Jedi because they're not supposed to know love or hate or procreate. So when you think, yeah, that worked out well for them. So when you look at what happened to the younglings, it's the cutting off of all parental rights to those children. which would be a huge legal issue to think about for a community to literally take in other people's kids, and they have no visitation rights. It's building loyalty to the Jedi Council as opposed to their families.
Family. Of course, that reminds me of The Green Men of Mars in the John Carter books by Edgar Rice Burroughs, where once again all the eggs are, after the women lay the eggs, they're put in the incubator and then just given out to the community of women to raise, basically. And there are no records kept, but maybe the Green Men of Mars don't have genetic issues, recessive genes or something, so they don't need to worry about incest issues down the road. But again, it is that, yeah, communally raised so that you do only have loyalty to the community as opposed to a family unit.
Yeah, and
Which is so wild.
in the story, it didn't work out well. So there's it did not work out well, which then raises,
That's
would
right.
you?
The one green man, Tars Tarkas, who didn't know his family, he ended up being the strongest one. I love Tars Tarkas.
But thinking about Jedis, would there be a child endangerment issue for one giving your kid over? Is that an okay thing to go do? Here's an organization that's quasi-religious, and I'm going to let them raise my kid. What ramifications are there for that? And then after all the kids get slaughtered, what's that say? Because there should be some litigation going, like, you know what? I turned my kid over, and he was murdered.
Yeah,
I'm
but you
not
sue
happy.
somebody for something.
Yeah,
Yeah.
did they lose all legal rights by, giving the kid over in the first place? So,
Unless they argued fraud in the inducement, and that the only reason they agreed to turn over their children is because they were guaranteed a better future for their children, more security, all of that. So that was the only reason they did it. And they said clearly the Jedis did not accurately represent what they could provide for my children.
it was a bad idea with Plato, and it was a bad idea with the Jedi.
It was one of
So,
many. Another bad idea, of course, is to make any deals with Darth Vader because obviously Darth is not going to, doesn't really feel obligated to keep up his end of any bargain or contract. And so my issue, of course, is the contract and the conspiracy that Lando entered into with Darth Vader, obviously, when they froze Han Solo, which still to me as a child was one of like those moments in a movie that just, you'll never forget kind of thing. That was
I
quite the
know.
dramatic moment. But I do love Lando, even though he did, turn on Han. He later redeemed himself, and I did fall in love with him right away. And in fact, this blazer, I don't know if you can really tell, but it kind of was my Lando-inspired blazer. I don't know why, but it just kind of made me feel a little bit like Lando. Although I think I need, he had a little cape too, right? A
He
gold
did.
cape. I need the gold cape. I gotta get that.
Was blue. But yes, that's we won't talk
The gold.
Calrissian fashion right now, but yes.